This week on the Droids, we're back. All this time off, there's so much news to cover. Where do we begin? Find out this week on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. No, we did not fall into a Sarlacc pit. No, we are not in despair. We have just been taking a much-needed hiatus and also celebrating the nuptials, the life day moment for one of the droids here with us this episode. Our very own Chris has found his life mate, his Jedi yes. counterpart.
I will say Leia Jedi. To his Luke.
The Leia to my Luke.
We all, as droids, had a wonderful yes. time celebrating Chris's wedding, and we have to say it was a droid affair. What, Chris? What was the entrance you had?
We got for the cocktail hour. Of course, I had to slip in there a little jizz band music. We had the cantina.
Whoa, Chris! That's for later in the night.
Hold on. We got the cantina theme, and so my goal was to sneak a bunch of little Star Wars references in there, mainly for the droid boys and some of the fans that were there. Notoriously invited tons of fans.
And we apologize to any listeners who did not get an invite.
This is real. I got approached by numerous people, and I appreciate it.
Well, there you go.
At one point, I believe Max introduced himself, shout out. He was very nice, and I felt very bad because I was kind of in the middle of finding my seat, so I was a little distracted. And then Chris, I met your brother-in-law who said he was a fan, and I also felt bad because I was holding two pieces of cake, also looking for
That's
my
where
seat,
it but, went. Kim was but, like, I didn't get a piece of cake.
Appreciate it from everybody. We should say, you know, just for the sake of social responsibility. Yes. It was a fully vaccinated
yes.
affair.
CDC guidance was observed.
It was, and it was a lovely, Chris, it was a lovely day to celebrate the droids.
yeah, had to make it about Star Wars somehow, no matter what. That's our problem. Thank you so much for coming, and it was a special day. It was the greatest day of my life. Next to seeing Force Awakens, you know. that's on record. Oops.
I will say I cried more at The Force Awakens, but that's just because I'm not a wedding crier.
It is sleep deprivation, too, yeah. Wow. But
And Chris, I gotta say, you looked stellar. Chris was wearing a sharp blue suit.
I was trying. I was trying hard, you know.
You know,
Somewhere between navy and royal blue, I'd say.
Say lightsaber blue.
Yeah, a good lightsaber blue.
I do feel like we should have done some sort of medal ceremony at the end of the wedding.
Exactly.
It feels that could have been something that the droid should have brought to the table, and we apologize, Chris, for not doing
that. Well, I think there was a fair amount of blue milk being poured, so I think...
And let your wife know that we're really sorry we didn't do that, too.
she would have loved it. Well, I did sneak in, though. I was able to sneak in little rebel icons on your place cards.
We noticed. It was great.
Very beautiful moment.
Yeah.
We had a very touching, like legitimately touching moment about it. And we were like a thing where we were looking at everybody else's name tags like losers.
Yeah. Exactly.
The perks of being a droid.
There you go. And you guys got in the special VIP lounge, Jabba's lounge, and that was it.
We did. We had the tip nip. And we've been waiting for that—the fried tip yip for a while. So
exactly. Oh man, can you imagine? Do you think they do Disney Star Wars weddings yet?
They have to, right?
Because I know
you probably get them
weddings.
At a super discount right now.
Wow.
Well, think about that hotel. Could you rent out theoretically if money was no object? Could you rent out the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser Hotel for a wedding?
Yeah, I think you could.
That's got to be at least half a mil.
Your own scripted story over 2.5 days.
Oof.
Exactly.
You know what? I think we're going to find out, though, the sides.
We're going to write it, right? You got to write it yourself.
Well, I mean, there's what do they call that? Vow renewal? There's always
that. Yep. And you know what, Chris? I think I think you need one in the first year. If you're not doing a vow renew in the first year, you're really, you don't know what's going to be the case.
What do you think?
Here's the thing, because on your wedding
months,
day, on your wedding day, and I've only had one so far, but on your wedding day, you're so, there's so much going on. You're talking to so many people. You're saying your vows and you're like, do I even mean this? I don't even know what's going on. I'm thinking about caterers. I'm thinking about tipping vendors. I'm thinking
chairs?
About, you know, you're dealing with a global pandemic. Yeah. You don't even know if you mean it. So it's important in the next 6 months or so to do a vow renewal.
But when you have a lightsaber in your hand, you know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, you're very much as clear in your mind as you've ever been.
What is it? What's the episode 2 thing about love?
it's coarse. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Love is coarse and it gets everywhere.
We don't accept Republic credits.
Chris did say, I do. I do or I do not. There is no try.
I did. Oh my gosh, am I trying?
Oh. How we've missed this. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, the droids can't do another hiatus.
And
we
this
gotta,
is
we
what
get
you
in.
Get when you subscribe to Stitcher Premium. What's that? Oh, this is just a regular episode?
Just another regular episode. Oh, actually, that's where we've been. All of this, we've been doing a lot of episodes.
Exactly, yeah. We should have played it cool, but like, thanks so much for subscribing to Stitcher Pro or whatever it is.
Yeah, I just found out, too, HeadGum is having an event at Irving Plaza, I believe, in October. So if anyone's going to that, the droids will be doing a unaffiliated but connected event right outside Irving Plaza. So we'll be on the corner of 19th and 3rd Avenue, and we'll be talking Star Wars really loudly if you want to eavesdrop.
That's our first annual DroidsCon.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word con.
Look, I realize this is a bit, but you know, if we put a table out with a little tarp that said, talk to us about Star Wars, you know, we'd get a gold of a show.
Yeah, on 19th Street and 3rd Avenue, you kidding me? During the HeadGum thing, you don't think any Doughboys fans like Star Wars?
Oh, my God. Hey, we'll be there maybe. You'll know if we're there.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how the numbers look.
I like this. I like this now. Wow.
Well, let's get into some of the news. Yeah. Obviously, the release of Star Wars Visions is top of mind. Yeah. All the episodes dropping at once on Disney Plus. We'll also talk about some of the other news that, you know, KOTAR is coming back, which is very exciting. And then Marsha Lucas had a few words about the sequel trilogy, which we can get into. But let's start out with Star Wars Visions. And I know, Chris and Ryan, you've seen maybe a little bit more than I have. Mm-hmm. But this is the series. It came from, 9 different Japanese studios. Well known in the anime space. We talked about it earlier when they first dropped the trailer. It was very exciting because it felt like, you know, why not give some new voices an opportunity to tell Star Wars stories? And why not in this format that harkens back to what Star Wars was originally inspired by from George Lucas in a similar cultural standpoint? And I think that's a very exciting thing that they were able to do that. And so far, it feels like it's delivered with these first few episodes. I've seen an episode and a half, and I very much enjoyed the duel and was excited about the Tatooine Rhapsody that I was in the second one. But I think that, you know, what I feel like is this farm system that's being created. And I say that from anybody who's, you know, a baseball fan. If you start to create all these stories in a lot of different mediums, you can then pick and choose and call up what really works to the big time, get them up to the big show of a movie if you feel like they're working. And so that's the case with the animated series. That's the case with what we're doing with Mandalorian and some of the spinoffs there. You still have them in prime position. However, you know that the movies continue to be the broadest form of entertainment. Maybe Disney Plus has gotten to the point that the series are just at the same level. However, I do feel like you're just mining all these different pieces of it that then you can pull and pick and choose from, especially with the High Republic and especially now with something like Star Wars Visions. And I would absolutely watch a feature-length duel. Now, have we seen that before already? Yes, in some form. Sure. But I don't mind the fact that they're, you know, I think you guys know better than I do, but it feels like as the episodes go on, they go into some territory that doesn't feel directly pulled from classic samurai films.
Well, so Star Wars Visions, I think, like, when they announced this, I think I said, don't quote me on this, that, like, of the things they announced, this was the one I was the most excited about. And, you know, having...
That was the Gina Carano.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. It was Rangers of the old Republic.
Wait a second.
Of the New Republic.
Wait a second.
No, so having watched all of them except the last one, it's this, the series is exactly what I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
It's every single one is different. Every single one is interesting. It's like one of those things where, you know, it's hard to like gauge like what's your favorite one or what's the best one, because they're so different in aesthetic. They're so different in tone. Mm-hmm. It's just, and that's what's so exciting about it. It shows kind of, you know, how diverse in terms of storytelling Star Wars can be, and I think that this really flexes that muscle. But it's, and a cool thing they do is that first episode is like very serious. You know, it's mm-hmm. like very kind of languid and extremely you know, Akira Kurosawa influenced, which is to say, it's a Star Wars thing. But
it's a samurai
very
tale,
purposely,
yeah.
Like the stark contrast between the first one and the second one is like, it seems very purposeful in them being like, this is going to be anything. So
yeah.
Like this black and white samurai movie that you just watched, that's like very, very, you know, serious and kind of like erudite and like things like that. The second one is about a pop punk band on Tatooine.
Yeah,
which you get the pod racer in.
Yeah, that through the power
cool.
of song.
We won't spoil too much because I think it's exciting for people to see. But
yeah, it's, and I'll tell you what, there's a song in the second one that's a real bop. and then it just goes on from there. Every single one, it's like, you know, they show the Visions logo, and then you don't know what kind of thing you're getting, which is super exciting.
It's very, very cool. I mean, I think I said in the chat that it kind of reminds me a little bit of like the Animatrix, which I was a big fan of. And I think, as far as like styles of anime, I'm an anime fan, and I have been throughout the years. I'm not like super up to date with all my anime selections, but I do enjoy it. And I think they are doing a really good job of showcasing the different styles of anime and animation that can be done within the kind of the medium of anime. And like, I really enjoy that aspect. Like you said, the first one has such a stark contrast, and the second one is like, it feels more like an older one, and there's like a nostalgic factor kind of kicking in there too, because there's like animes from like the 80s that have that certain feel and look to them, mm-hmm. and then there's the kind of newer, and then there's like the 90s stuff, and some things that kind of are a hybrid of like computer animation and hand-drawn animation. So I think they're like running the gambit of all the types of anime, and then within the stories that they're presenting, so far, so good for me. I think I'm about three in. And I agree. I think it's one of the most exciting things Star Wars has done in a long, long time in a galaxy far, far away. I think the fact that they're willing to kind of take this decanonized risk or chance and say, like, mm-hmm. hey, here's some stories with all the tools that we know and love. Have at it. See what happens. It reminds me of kind of that... I always mention on this podcast that time period between 85 and like 96, where it was kind of mm-hmm. like, here's some things. We're going to allow you to take some chances, make up some stories. It doesn't matter if they connect or not, just do what you need to do. And they're riddled with references, riddled in a good way, like little like cues and references. Like I think I've heard I've Got a Bad Feeling About This in everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, maybe that's
it's
a requirement.
It's like everybody wants their chance to like...
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Everyone wants that.
I think also, and like I also, you know, I'm an anime fan, but like in no way an anime expert or, you know, like I would say that I like it more, or I'm more knowledgeable about it than like a person who's never watched anime. But like, you know, I there are people that are like super experts on it, and I'm not there. But in my experience with it, and I'm saying this in a completely complimentary way, I was reminded of this especially with the third episode, The Twins, which is a lot of times, and this may just be from my point of view, like it may be a cultural difference. I can't speak to it, but I know that like watching anime, it has this feeling sometimes that it is valuing the image over the quote unquote logic of something. And I think that like that's perfect for this, which is like there's an episode, The Twins, which I'm not going to give away a lot about, you know, like the plot, but like there's people having a lightsaber battle like on a Star Destroyer in space, like outside a Star Destroyer. And it's like, yeah, like we could think about how it's like, how are they breathing? But it's like, right, it just right. looks amazing.
Yeah. It's, yeah. yeah.
And it's like, and the animation style is so incredible, and it's just so different. There's also, I mean, these are like, you could get this from IMDb. So it's like, there's an episode that involves like a lightsaber smith, you know? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's interesting because, you know, if they, assumedly, if they're running it like really meticulously through story group or something, they'd be like, you know, well, Jedi build their own lightsabers. There would be no reason to have a lightsaber smith, like that kind of right. thing. But it's like,
except
someone just
for
had
good
an
old
idea.
Savvy in Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
There you go. Exactly. Or like, you know, just think like, you know, maybe Jedi need their lightsabers repaired sometimes or like whatever. And it's like that leads itself into a cool story yeah. that's like, you know, it doesn't. Yeah, Luke Skywalker doesn't need to show up at the end.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like what I've been hoping for them yeah. to do, mm. which is just
from
like,
an
just
improv
do the story.
Sense. They keep yes anding, you know, it's adding.
Yeah, there's like an episode, and again, there's an episode about a little droid that wants to be a Jedi, and I was like, that's never been explored before.
And my heart is crying.
Well, and they wouldn't actually have the space to explore that. Like,
right. Exactly, because they'd yeah. be like, how is this going to tie in? How are we going to do this?
Blah, and also, blah, like, blah. They're not going to invest in something like that as a one-off or right. as a different series, whereas yeah. something like this, where you have 9 different stories, you can get away with it.
Yeah, and I think, Chris, I think we were talking over mm-hmm. text that we were like, I wish there was 400 of these.
Yeah, I wish this was like a Naruto-type series where it's just like, oh, where are we at? Like, you could pick it up at episode 300 and they're like in a forest trying to do something. Like, I wish that one of these gets picked and pulled out and becomes like a series in addition to all the other good stuff that we have. And I'll go back to, it doesn't matter to me if it connects to anything else. I mean... Yeah. There's such a rich universe that Star Wars has created. Like, literally all we need to know is Jedi move stuff with their minds. They have a moral code. There's lightsabers. There's bad people out there that they need to stop. Like yeah. what else do we need? I think also interesting, the Twins episode voiced by Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I am watching it in the Japanese with the subtitles, so I am.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a joke?
That's a joke. That's a joke. I have also, I've been trying to watch some in Japanese with the subtitles and then also some in English. The English voice cast is great.
They're great.
I mean, I guess I should have
like,
realized.
I should have realized.
I should have realized that was a joke, Chris, just because you were talking about the movie reference, but I was yeah. like, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they brought him
yeah,
in. This,
take
the crazier
a, take
things
a
happen.
Take a chance, yeah.
I do want to say, like, Chris or Ryan, you were talking about the visuals, and there's a lot yeah. of promos that have been out there where I've been like, I don't even want to look at these promos because I want to watch it as it's actually part of the episode. I want to be surprised because if they're giving away, and some of this wasn't even promos, it was instant reaction that people were like, oh, this shot is incredible. This is such a beautiful piece of art, and I wanted to see it and experience it myself. And fortunately, I think I've, for the most part, not seen too much, but when I was yeah. watching the first episode, and this isn't a spoiler, when the Sith, the villain of that episode, first unveils herself on top of whatever the transport vehicle they're on, mm-hmm. and the heels click down, I was like, that is awesome. It just looked so cool.
Yeah.
And then her then entrance down to ground level was also just beautiful.
There is something so exciting about, like I said, they show the Visions logo, and then
yeah.
you're literally, yeah. it's not even just what kind of adventure am I going on? Literally, like, what is it going to look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first yeah. shot, you're like, I don't even know what this is going to look like. That's why I thought the juxtaposition between the first episode and the second episode mm-hmm. was so cool. Because it's yeah. like,
it really
could
is.
Not be more different.
You're getting something new and new and new each time. Where I think we've been kind of lulled into this canonical universe where it's like, okay, here's the vision and the things that even with kind of the shows and the Star Wars stories, they all have a similar tone and feel to them. They can't stray too far, but I think this is the first time in a long time that we've seen them. I mean, I say this kind of half as a joke, but half as real. Like, I think the farthest we've ever strayed was probably those Family Guy Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And now we're coming back to so there. I think this is a much better take on Star Wars to kind of do this stuff and tell completely new stories. But you're right, the newness of all of this is very exciting, something yeah. we have not had since probably the beginnings of the prequel or the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, like there's no brand guidelines.
Yeah.
Which is like nice. you know, like for once, for something like this. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate the sonic touchstones where you just hear things that put you back in the world, and that's fine because it's not intrusive into the story. It's just like, okay, put the trappings on it. And the trappings
it shows
are there.
You that, that, like, the sound is probably the most important part.
Yeah, exactly. What did Lucas always say? Like, 50% of Star Wars is sound.
Yeah, it's like, I was thinking that, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. Like, I was thinking about, because there are some times that they play, like, variations on themes. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they're playing the actual themes, you know. But I kept thinking, like, wow, it really goes to show, like, this really sounds like Star Wars, mm-hmm. even like, and therefore it feels like Star Wars, even if it doesn't look how we're used to it. Which was just like an interesting kind of like thought experiment that the sound is just such an important aspect of it.
I don't want to get too deeply into this, but I just want to mention, because there's so much positive about this and it's nice to be in the positive space of Star Wars. But I couldn't help but find it humorous that there were a couple of tweets and just reminded me, like, hey, it's great we all have a podcast. Love doing this with all of you guys, but not everybody deserves a microphone, you know, beyond just a podcast, but a microphone of a sense of social. Somebody, you know, tweeted out, like, you know, George, this isn't George Lucas's Star Wars. You know, I mean, what Japanese elements? Like, that's got nothing to do with Star Wars. And I'm just, you're just like, oh my God. Can you take, like, 2 seconds to read anything about something you like before you put it out there?
Yeah, it's there's verbatim scenes pulled from Kurosawa films. Like, it's that's always the aspect that's out there. But
yeah, it seems to me like George would be in those.
I think he'd be really into it.
That was one of my thoughts too while I was watching it. I thought, like, oh, I think George Lucas would appreciate this kind of take on Star Wars.
What do you think George Lucas's, like, circle of friends is like? Do you think he's got a group of friends that, you know, at some point they're like, George, we understand you're kind of just taking a back seat, you're not in it, but
I think it's,
maybe this is the thing you should check out. Like, we're watching it. Yeah. This is something you'd like.
Yeah.
Like, do I think, like, Brian De Palma is calling him and being like,
yeah. Marty Scorsese.
What up, nerd?
Ron Howard's there.
I guess I was not thinking of all the film directors that are his friends.
No, like,
because
literally.
Are they even... I feel
bunch
like they haven't even been
racers
photographed
from the
1950s. Together in years.
Well, he and Spielberg are tight. Like
they socialize.
I
don't think he and apparently they like spend Thanksgivings together. Like it's like that. But I don't think him and De Palma hang out.
His review of Star Wars.
well, speaking of reviews of Star Wars. Speaking of the Lucas inner circle, really, I didn't even mean for this transition.
Wow.
Marsha
so
Lucas,
good.
Ex-wife of George Lucas and editor extraordinaire, correct? Of
she
original
the taxi
Star Wars.
Driver.
In
wow.
general, she
hey,
has
I'm
come out and had, we won't go through the whole comment. I think you can easily look it up, but she just came out with a point of view in the sequel trilogies that was very much against the decisions and calling out Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams. Did not specifically call out Rian Johnson, but did mention how Han and Luke shouldn't have been killed in the way that they were killed, and kind of just criticized how none of it really made sense as a story.
People were saying that she didn't bring up Rian Johnson, but she like does. Like it's not like it's,
yeah, it's not like
it
she did, just,
it doesn't
yeah.
seem like she was like except Rian Johnson, I'm cool with him.
She didn't name any examples from The Last Jedi.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she
just said
talks
Luke
about
dying.
Luke dying.
He didn't really die. Not no one's
no
ever
one,
really
no
gone.
No really gone. There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. She didn't like the movies.
But apparently, she also didn't like the prequels either. And I don't. I guess someone had an anecdote where she was just in tears after seeing the Phantom Menace because of how terrible it was in her eyes.
Oh. Well,
and
she just doesn't like.
Well, I mean, my thought is that anybody who's actually worked on these films, I don't know, the cognitive reality that you have in regard to those films is got to be different than the way anyone else experienced them. So your idea of it when you were making it and what you put together initially may not in any way jive with what it's become. And it doesn't mean that person, you know, is wrong in the way they feel. They're just seeing it differently. And I don't know. I'm not trying to say, hey, let's just...
Yeah.
move on and be like everybody has their thing whatever but it's just I'm trying to be like I think of the things that I've worked on and,
sure.
and anybody would describe And of course, not anything public or exciting like Star Wars. But when you live as an editor and you live in it, and Ryan, you probably know this better than anybody, you start seeing things in different ways. You've seen it 1,000 times. You've seen it 20,000 times. You don't see it the way that everybody else sees it.
Yeah, and also, didn't she, like, I think she, like, left editing Star Wars to go edit one of Brian De Palma's movies. That's, like, a real thing. Because she was, like, more into, like, artsy, like, movies.
Sure.
So it's very possible she just doesn't like Star Wars for
me. Yeah, I mean, also, but, like, I feel
also,
like...
I mean, yeah, I think that... I think that, Mike, what you said, I think, is very true, which is that, you know, how do you have any, like, objectivity with this stuff?
Yeah.
Also, she knew... She obviously was married to George Lucas when they were making it, and she edited the movie. It's like, she knew what their intentions were with everything, where he was coming from with everything in terms of, like, mythology, storytelling, all that stuff. So it's like, the same way that, like, there's often a disconnect between what George Lucas seems to want Star Wars to be and what the quote-unquote fandom wants it to be as well. And I think that, you know, anybody who was on the same page making the movie would kind of have the same, a similar feeling.
Of course.
And you know, I don't want to dwell too much on, like, a negative thing about this, but, you know, the Rise of Skywalker sucks. So it's like, she's not wrong about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, I think, yeah, I mean, I think from anyone's perspective of a creative thing, you feel a real sense of ownership, and it's hard to see kind of the thing you create go in other hands, and maybe it's not even that case, but it's also like, I think in some instance, like, George Lucas always kind of brushes it off and says, like, oh, they're doing their thing. Well, George Lucas also got paid $4 billion for the privilege for him to be like, oh, yeah, they're doing their thing. I think
you know,
other
people... pretty zen about it, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I think that everyone else probably doesn't have that benefit, where they're not necessarily thinking that it's like, hey, I didn't get anything for this, but I put all my blood, sweat, and tears in this, and now it's somebody else's. So I can understand that feeling for sure.
Well, especially with those characters. Like, if you think about your part of defining those characters at that time, and you define them at a time in your life where you were 40 years younger, you probably feel pretty disheartened that someone else got to tell that story about them, or tell any story about the characters that you helped craft. Even if you were crafting them in an editing sense versus a writing sense.
But I think Star Wars obviously is an editing feat. Like, it was
editing
made.
Editing is the final draft.
Yeah, it's like it was made in the edit. So I have to assume that, yeah, she's just as responsible for the creation of this as anyone else.
Yeah.
Maybe she should watch these visions.
She might like them.
She might like them.
She might. Well... other good news from around Star Wars, and a couple of little tidbits before we talk about some other KOTAR news, is Ludwig Göransson. Ludwig is scoring Book of Boba Fett. And the Book of Boba Fett is coming at the end of this year in December. But before that, on November 12th, Disney Plus is having Disney Plus Day. You know, they've coined their own day, which, as we all do. What is Droids Day, guys?
That day that the outside the Headgum Festival.
That's the one.
Once
Droids
we
Day.
Figure out that.
Droids Day, yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that crosses over. It might be the same time as Disney Plus Day.
Oh, hey.
Awkward. Oh, then we'll hop on that too.
Whoa! So if you see D Plus Day, assume the D stands for droids.
That's it.
That's right.
Let's co-opt the hashtag. If we get everybody who
hashtag
listens to this podcast,
co-opt the hashtag.
We can co-opt the hashtag. Tweeting it out.
I like that.
But with that, they're doing a new special about Boba Fett, the character, which I imagine will be like 14 minutes long and just show you clips that you've seen 1,000 times. But that's didn't they do that before?
Tatooine lives
before
Boba
WandaVision,
Fett.
They did like 4 episodes. It was like, here's story about Wanda recap. Here's a Vision recap and just telling you who they are.
You think they'll do that Boba? Like, up to this point, though, like the Boba Fett scenes are just going to be like him pulling his mask. Like him, like doing the thing at Jabba's palace where he just throws him.
Yeah, turns it sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
But
and
so
then,
that,
do you know they made a cartoon in the Christmas special? It's been a while.
I'm unfamiliar with that. I'm actually, there is a new Hasbro Black series based on that, Chris. I think you should put it on your Christmas list.
My gosh.
Other news, Mandalorian did win some hardware in the Emmy department, but did not win any of the major awards. I would say I was a bit disappointed that Dave Filoni didn't come away with a win, but I think he lost to, was it a Mayor of Easttown script, which I can't necessarily fault them for making that choice. Or was it a, I think it may be an I May Destroy You script. And so kind of not surprising that as good as Mandalorian can be, it's not going to quite stand up to that kind of caliber.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what category I May Destroy You did win, which was great. But yeah, I mean, if The Mandalorian was up against I May Destroy You and I May Destroy You won, I'd say that was the correct choice.
The appropriate choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think just I think that's just the right choice.
Other news is that Obi-Wan has apparently wrapped. And Ewan McGregor has said that this will live up to the hype. You will not be disappointed. And I think if there's anything we know, is to trust Ewan McGregor.
I see. This is where I just don't know now. I don't know what to believe. He lied to us for
years.
He lied
so many times.
Is this truth or is this fantasy?
Well,
I mean,
it is nice to know.
That'd be a weird thing to,
to lie about. Yeah. I agree. No, I'm excited for that. What's the release date on that? Is it before or after
Actually,
Boba Fett?
That is summer of next year, with the Andor series being slightly before that, then Book of Boba Fett in December, and I believe Mandalorian season 3. I actually see Mandalorian season 3 might be a year later, because I can't imagine they're going to release 4 shows within 8 months.
Sorry, I did some research. So the Mandalorian, the Dave Filoni script that was nominated, The Jedi, actually lost to an episode of The Crown, which I...
Oh, that's what... Okay.
Like,
I mean, sure.
If it had lost to I May Destroy You, I'd say that was the right choice. An episode of The Crown.
The Crown.
You know, I it lost to a beige show.
Well, I can't keep it on.
It was up against another episode of The Mandalorian, an episode of The Boys, an episode of The Handmaid's Tale, and the pilot, or the first episode of Lovecraft Country, which is one of the best episodes
that was
of
beautiful.
Television this year.
I love that. Actually, I love that. I actually thought that the other episode, though, Sundown, was an even better episode.
Oh, no, that is the episode I'm talking about.
It
I
is?
Thought that was the first episode.
Is that the first one?
Oh, wow.
You know what? You might be right. Maybe that is the first episode.
Whatever episode. Yeah, it is the first episode.
Okay,
you're
right.
An amazing hour of television.
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway.
Yeah. Check out all those shows, and I May Destroy You. All very good shows.
I May Destroy You is... essential. It's amazing. So,
well,
anyway,
from there, KOTAR is the other real news that we have, is that KOTAR is coming back, and it is going to be a remastered version, right? Or almost
a remake. I think they're going like from scratch,
which as you do that, I mean, that sounds all well and good, but why not just do KOTAR 3?
Well, the script's already written.
Yeah, okay, I guess. And people want to get Darth Revan back involved? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I don't really know. What, even within existing IP, we're working in existing IP at this point.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, they said they're making a KOTOR remake. I believe that's what they're... I think it's a ground up. It's like Final Fantasy VII. Like, they're
Well, maybe
really,
that's the... Yeah. Well, maybe that's the key to go to making a third one, though. Maybe that's... introduce an audience to it, because the one that we were kind of talking about before the podcast, the one that they have been re-releasing, is kind of unplayable.
Yeah, it's dated. It's
yeah, it's fine. It lives up to the nostalgia, but it's tough to slog through. So I think maybe this might be a marketing game.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm guessing is this. I'm guessing that much like Final Fantasy VII, but like the inverse of it, I think that they'll probably do a KOTOR remake that is incorporating kind of the first and second KOTOR game into like one kind of big, you know, I'm sure they'll like condense it or whatever, and then they'll probably, contingent on the inevitable success of that game, they'll probably keep going with the franchise. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't even think they announced a developer yet. Like, I don't think BioWare is making it.
I think I heard George Lucas is making it himself.
He's coding it.
He built a robot to make the video game. exactly. No, is that being released under Lucas Games?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's a PS5 exclusive, isn't it?
Wow.
We're easily 4 years away from this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll be talking about it in 4 years on our exclusive playthroughs, like the Jedi Fallen Order playthrough.
That you should check
YouTube.
Out on YouTube.
Yeah, check that out.
I did a good amount of playing that game.
You did?
On the YouTube.
It's a good game. They just released a patch for that.
About three months ago. Probably. For all those 60 frames per second heads out there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And then the other Star Wars game that they did a trailer for recently, too, during they released some gameplay during the Apple conference. The name's escaping me, but Hunters, like a battle royale.
It made me think, you know, I'm curious. I have not gotten into mobile gaming much.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the one. Maybe
this could be it. It's free to play.
He's going mobile. That's my Bane.
Batman.
I mean, I don't know how you, other than like playing a little bit of Mario Run and Alto's Adventure Quest or whatever, I've never just felt like it's worth my time to play a mobile game.
But don't sleep on Apple Arcade. I'm telling you, there's some gems.
I tried out a few.
Fantasia.
Every 6 months, I subscribe to Apple Arcade, and then I don't play anything. In 2 months, I cancel my subscription.
I'm unable to cancel it. They just keep giving it to me. I think it's promo.
You can't
for the
help
pod.
It. But yeah, Star Wars Hunters. I'm sure we'll all get it together.
Yeah, it's free to play.
We'll all get it together and play that together, right, Sam? Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Wait, Sam is now a Southern gentleman?
That's right. I'm Sam.
Sam is turned into Al Gore.
It is I, Sam.
Hi.
I moved down to Savannah, where I now enjoy myself the hunting of many other hunters.
I pull myself a mint julep and I go hunting.
It is hotter than a Wookiee on Tatooine in here.
I'm as sweaty as a shaved Ewok over here.
We have just lost all of our Southern audience. They love it. It's charming. Oh boy.
Well, I think that's we covered it. I don't know if there's much other news out there.
Light of the Jedi.
Wait in real time while we look.
Well, we got to finish Light of the Jedi, right?
We got to finish
the Jedi. Final five chapters. Oh no, Mike! We'll get to that.
I will say that. Now I sound like Foghorn Leghorn. The Visions does what Light of the Jedi does, where it takes like themes and tropes from Star Wars and kind of weaves them in a way that's not a verbatim copy. I've noticed that in quite a few instances with some of the action, which I think is what the best of Outer Rim Star Wars does.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching an episode of Visions, and I was thinking about we were talking about it too in the text, the lightsabers being used as keys.
Yes.
And I was reminded of that moment in Light of the Jedi where they talk about that, the Jedi, when they all use the Force together.
Yeah.
And that one Jedi expels her like gas pustules, and it stinks up her entire ship, and then she dies.
What a mean
and I was
chap.
Just like, I again thought like, why would you include that? It's so embarrassing to her.
Yeah, it's not a nice. Mm-hmm.
Like if I died doing something heroic, and they were like right before though he rips such a bad fart.
I do think you said that
I'd
when
like,
we first read the book.
Why did you put that in?
Yeah, when we first read the book, you were like,
it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I take this seriously. I know they're not real, but I treat them like they're real, and it's like I wouldn't want that included about me.
Yeah, that's not
that I oiled my ship and that it made it stink.
Epilogue: Ryan spewed ink all over the windshield. I think that's interesting. The key thing I brought up was that I noticed that the Astromech's key kind of looks like a little mini lightsaber that goes into those round disc hole things that spin around. So I was thinking maybe that was influenced from the the New Republic lightsabers. What is
I thought that line where they're like, stick it in your disc hole was really weird.
Yeah, that's...
I will say, this whole series is very Kyber heavy, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's cool. It's a cool object.
I'm afraid, though, that Kyber Crystal... I'm not afraid. I want, you know, Star Wars is for everybody. But I'm afraid that Kyber Crystal is becoming, like, the Jason Todd of Star Wars, where it's, like, it used to mean that, like, you knew a lot about it, and now everybody knows. So you have to, like, shift to something else.
They never quite explained in Rogue One why they're mining Kyber. I think we all know.
It's for the Death Star.
It's for the Death Star.
Well, they never explained it, though.
Yeah, but we know.
But we know, which I thought was cool.
So that was for us.
Yeah.
For the
droids.
Everybody
knows.
They knew what
now,
they were doing.
Now, literally tens of people know because they listen to the podcast.
Well, it has been a pleasure. I look forward to coming back. And maybe next week we can do a full discussion of all the episodes of Star Wars Visions. I think
I like
we'll likely all get through it. They are short.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about our favorites.
Yeah.
We'll pick up steam here on the pod. Don't worry, the droids are still here. Hopefully you were kind of going back. We should have released like best ofs or something.
We've got a lot of
best
ofs out there.
Our hiatus.
That sounds like a lot of work for Ryan. Yeah.
I was
going to
say, it did seem like it was a lot of work for Ryan.
He just clicked download and just repost the thing.
However, I do think that we're all capable of editing together an existing show into some highlights. We don't need Ryan to be the only
one. I literally meant just pull an old episode and repost it
on
the feed.
I see. Like, just
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to reach out again. I mentioned everybody who introduced themselves at Chris's wedding. Very appreciated. David, who's a listener of the pod, reached out recently and said, "Are the droids ever coming back?"
No, man.
So, David, this is for you, buddy.
We're back, baby.
The droids needed to take a weekend for themselves. You know what I mean? And then we came back, and like maybe things are a little weird now, and like maybe everybody will be a little sadder now.
Time
we're back.
Different. Time moves different in hyperspace.
Yeah.
Yeah, for us, it's only been,
right?
it's only been like an hour.
We've only been gone an hour.
Give us a summer. Come on. What do you want?
Well, we serve at the pleasure of the fans.
This is what the Patreon subscribers get.
Yeah, it's like when we're on hiatus, that's our main source of income that dries up.
Yeah. We have a hard time.
We got to do that telethon again.
Don't we still need to watch...
I'm going to watch everything. Yeah, we got many more to watch. We just finished Jedi. What do we got? We can go right into Force Awakens, or we can go back to the prequels.
I mean, what's the point of watching him if Marsha hates him so much?
That's true. I do think that we have to do the drunken Rise of Skywalker watch.
Yeah.
That's the only way to watch that.
I really do want to do that.
That's like the fall of Skywalker.
How much anger would there be, though? Like, it would just be...
I need, like, a head start. I've realized, and maybe this has to do with the pandemic, that my alcohol tolerance has gone up in the last year and a half. It used to only take one or two drinks, so I might need a little bit of a head start.
Right,
but
we'll
once I'm there...
And the Patreon...
We would also have to do, like... parents, you might want to put the kids to sleep for this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I think that's why the Patreon gets the pregame you get in with the Patreon. And then
I do a live stream of me just drinking on my couch.
Yeah.
playing Jedi Fallen Order.
Every ice cube, a different ice cube shaped like Darth Vader or Wookiee or
I'll tell you
Yoda.
What, the lovely woman that I married got me a Death Star ice cube maker and... 2 Millennium Falcon ice cube maker. So that's when I knew.
I had a Death Star ice cube maker, and it was so hard.
I had
to
that too.
Difficult. Fill.
It's almost destroyed Betty glasses also because it's so heavy.
Because you've erased. I'm just gonna spike it in.
Yeah, just smash. What's the power of the Death Star? It's fully operational.
Oh well, pleasure to be back with the droids. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the show. Be sure to check in again. We, things come up, things get in the way, but we love talking about Star Wars, and we can't wait to talk about it again next time on The Droids. What they grow.
Annie?
You boys want to watch a vision?
Y'all seen Sam around here?
I say,
is Sam around here?
You got any missing Sams I can find?
Sounds like molasses is falling out of your
mouth. I want to play a mobile game.